You're listening to Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Nathan Sterner. The planet Pluto was discovered in 1930, but until recently, we did not know that much about it. Our knowledge of Pluto has expanded exponentially this week, however, as the New Horizons spacecraft beams a whole bunch of pictures and data 3 billion miles back to Earth. Hal Weaver is project scientist for the mission and joins us from the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory in Laurel for this update. Good morning, Hal.
Hi, Nathan. Glad to be back.
New Horizons zipped by Pluto on Tuesday at a speed of 30,000 miles an hour, and I understand it's going to take months before we even get all the data that it picked up on its flyby, but even so, we're already learning a lot. Tell us the latest.
Oh, wow. It's been like, we've been like kids in a candy shop. It's so much fun seeing the data come in. We are picking out the choicest data sets, and you know, like you said, to get all of it down is going to take about 16 months.
Why is it going to take so long?
3 billion miles away, you know, the small antenna trying to send radio signals all the way back to the Earth at about 2 kilobits per second, 2,000 bits per second.
That's a very slow internet connection.
Yes, that's back in the old days, the modem days. Even though it's very sophisticated equipment, it's the best you can do out of that distance.
One of the neatest things that we know so far is that Pluto could actually be geologically active because the surface we're seeing is relatively new.
Yeah, at least part of the surface, some of the youngest surfaces we've ever seen on a planetary surface, you know, less than about 100 million years old. That sounds like a long time.
Is that younger than Earth?
Oh, yes. Everything formed in the solar system 4.6 billion years ago. So this is like a taking a snapshot, very recent snapshot.
Earth, of course, is still geologically active. Do we know yet how geology might work on Pluto?
Well, that's the big mystery. There was radioactivity in the interior, decay of radioactive elements heats up the interior. We thought that probably would have dissipated by now, and so that, you know, the surface of Pluto wouldn't have shown such incredible structures. I mean, we've got ice mountains as high as the Rockies. We've got deep valleys bigger than the Grand Canyon, and, you know, ice mountains, you know, made of water ice.
And this is not what you would have expected at all.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's really been a surprise, and it's going to cause us to scratch our heads, go back to the drawing board, and probably, rethink, you know, all of the dwarf planets throughout the solar system. You know, what do they really look like, and what processes are still active?
We have seen some amazing pictures so far. By now, everyone has probably seen the giant white heart-shaped formation on Pluto's surface. I gather we're naming that after the man who discovered Pluto?
That's right. Tombaugh Regio. Clyde Tombaugh is the person who discovered Pluto back in 1930. And his whole family was out at the APL this past week to witness the encounter. And his ashes are actually on the spacecraft, so that was very nice. Clyde glided by Pluto.
What do we know about the Tombaugh Regio so far, the giant heart?
Actually, the heart seems to be divided into two different ventricles, very different colors, and they're, you know, probably different compositions. We're still waiting for the data that really samples the composition of the surface at that fine of detail. That should be coming in over during the next week, and we'll be able to say more then.
How are we naming the features on Pluto and the ones that we're spotting on Pluto's moons?
Actually, it's quite a complicated process, but the team has been working on it for several months and has been working with NASA and the International Astronomical Union, which is the agency that officially names objects in the solar system. And, we follow certain rules. Things in the Pluto system are named after the underworld and death. That doesn't sound too good. So we're trying to have some, you know, variation in that. And Tombaugh Regio is one of those. We'll propose that.
I understand that a whole bunch of new images are going to be coming out this afternoon at a NASA media briefing. Can you give us a preview?
It's looking at the surface of Pluto and Charon at, you know, roughly 10 times better resolution than the iconic image of Pluto and Charon that we had that were taken about 16 hours out. These are images that were taken closer to the time of when the spacecraft passed closest to Pluto, and the resolution is better. We've had a couple of days to think about what the meaning of the data are. So you'll hear that discussed at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, for the meaning of the data, we'll have to wait just a little bit.
Right.
This is Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Nathan Sterner on the line with Hal Weaver, project scientist for the New Horizons mission, which is sending a trove of information about the dwarf planet Pluto back to Earth. And Hal, when we last talked, I remember you saying a dwarf planet is a planet. In your estimation, Pluto is a planet, right?
Is there any doubt now?
No,
you look at that iconic view of Pluto that we released on Encounter Day, July the 14th. I mean, that was, to me, it sort of reminded me of the astronauts looking back at the Earth and seeing the whole globe there. Pluto really does look like a planet.
But Pluto is different from the other eight in our solar system. For one thing, it has this weird orbit that takes it inside Neptune's orbit for 20 years or so every cycle. Do we have any idea why that is? Might we find out?
Oh, yeah, sure. It is definitely a member of the Kuiper Belt. That's this new third zone, newly discovered third zone of the solar system. And Pluto is a member of that. I mean, it's one of the largest. In fact, right now, it is the king of the Kuiper Belt. We don't know of any Kuiper Belt object that's larger than Pluto, and that's one of the things we've been able to nail down exactly how big Pluto is.
We actually found out that it's bigger than we thought, didn't we?
A little bit, yeah.
Pluto has five moons, of course, Charon that you mentioned, four others. Tell us about the biggest one, Charon. What are we seeing there? Because we're seeing some neat features there.
Yeah, in fact, that we were expecting in the case of Charon to see it littered with craters because, being inactive and just basically recording the history of the bombardment in the Kuiper Belt over the past 4.6 billion years. But what we saw is very different than that. We see ridges and a few craters here and there, but, significant variations in topology over the surface. And that was quite unexpected.
We're also seeing some neat features there. I think there's one that they're trying to call Cthulhu, isn't it? Some giant dark object?
Oh, yeah. Near the northern pole, there's a giant dark region, and we're puzzling over now where there could potentially be a giant crater that excavated some material, and it looks dark. But really, what we think is probably happening is maybe some of Pluto's atmosphere is leaked over to Charon and condensed onto the northern pole where it's coldest on Charon, and that's the reason why it's different than the rest of Charon.
So it would be a frozen hunk of Plutonian atmosphere.
Potentially.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
We're also looking at those other moons, Nix, Hydra, Styx, Kerberos. Do we have any information on those?
Oh, yeah. We can't leave them out. Both Nix and Hydra have been revealed by New Horizons now. We can actually resolve them. They're not just little pinpoints. We can see that they're roughly 20 miles across. They seem to be tumbling around, maybe spinning very, very fast. They're also very bright, which means that they're almost certainly covered with water ice. So we have they seem to be icy satellites. And highly elongated. They're definitely not planets. There's about a 30%.
They're not spherical.
Right. They're not spherical. About 30% difference between the long axis and the small axis. And we have some even better observations coming up soon.
Looking forward to that. Of course, New Horizons may be mostly done with Pluto, having passed it on Tuesday, but its mission's not done. It's going to keep on headed out into the Kuiper Belt. Anything we might see there?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the very important objective of the mission is to try and fly by one other Kuiper Belt object in a different family of Kuiper Belt object than what Pluto and its satellites are. We've already identified, using Hubble Space Telescope, two potential Kuiper Belt objects that we could reach with the available fuel on board. We'll make a maneuver sometime late in the fall to head us on towards one or the other after NASA approves that. But we also have to submit a proposal to NASA to carry on what was called an extended mission. But everything really seems to be working well after the Pluto flyby. And even though, I mean, we're already almost 2 million miles past Pluto, so we're on our way deeper into the Kuiper Belt, and we're looking forward to some encounters with, another Kuiper Belt object.
How long might the New Horizons spacecraft last?
It could last probably till about 2030 or so. We should have enough power. We can make measurements of the helio, what we call the heliosphere, the charged particle environment, all the way out to, 30 to 50 AU even. We're at 32, 33 now, but all the way out to 50 AU over the next, decade. But we are also we hope to target one of those small Kuiper Belt objects.
So lots of great data, hopefully, to come. There is another dwarf planet in our solar system, about the same size as Pluto, a planet called Eris, about three times farther away. Are we ever going to explore that one?
That would be wonderful if we could, but the problem is these missions, especially to the outer solar system, they take a long time. I mean, New Horizons spacecraft was we left the Earth faster than any other spacecraft, and it's still, and we got a gravity boost from Jupiter that cut 3 years off the travel time, and it still took us 9.5 years. And so, as you said, Eris is even farther away. It's going to take a long time, and there's nothing on the books right now. It takes about 15 to 20 years for these big missions to go from the idea, the concept, to the to the launch, and then another 10 to 15 years to get there. So I don't think it's going to be in my lifetime, unfortunately.
Well, thankfully, there's going to be a lot to discover about Pluto in the months and years to come. I got one final question for you. When are you going to get some sleep?
Yeah, it's been a busy last couple of months, but this is what we came here for. All of us are charged up. The adrenaline is flowing, and we're having a great time.
Hal Weaver is a scientist at the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory in Laro, and we'll be busy sifting through the data the New Horizons spacecraft is sending back to Earth for quite a while. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Nathan.
We've got more information about the mission on our website. That's wypr.org/Maryland Morning, and there'll be more information coming out later this afternoon from NASA. I'm Nathan Sterner. Stay tuned to your public radio.